This morning, I'd like to talk a little bit about something I'm reading out of a book. It's called The Relationship Principles of Jesus. It's written by Tom Holliday. If anybody hasn't checked it out, you should. And when I get done with mine, I'm happy to give you mine. I finished a few chapters a few weeks ago, and I told Pastor, I'm like, you know, I think there's a sermon series coming out of this. I think there's some good stuff he's writing about. And wouldn't you know it, I said it, thought about it, prayed on it, and of course, it's a sermon series. So I know you guys are excited about this. You're on the edge of your seat, actually. We love a sermon series, right? We got 2 weeks of me in a row. Hold the applause. Hold the applause till afterwards. And then we've got the cleanup hitter, Pastor Tosh, is coming in on the third week to finish it up. So we've got 3 weeks. We're kind of talking about the same passage, but kind of really diving into it. So please stay tuned. I know you're super excited, and you don't want to miss any part of this three-part series. So we'll see for at least the next 2 weeks before you don't come to church. So next 3 weeks, you'll be here. I'm taking an inventory. Got it. So the scriptures that the author was writing about that I was diving into a little bit was about, or centered around Luke 10:25-37. There's a question that was posed to Jesus from an expert in the law. Now, I always thought when I've read this before that, oh, the expert in the law, that's a Pharisee. It could have been a Pharisee. That is an option. It could also have been what they called a scribe at the time, which was a special word for lawyer back in Jesus's day. But either way it would have been, a scribe or a Pharisee, it would have been someone who was a total expert, knew everything about the law of Moses. That was the law that was going on then, right? When Jesus was walking around, it was the law of Moses. And just to give you some information that I found out also, there were 613 laws of Moses. 613, okay? That's a lot. That was how society was ruled. Those were the laws. And this person, this scribe or Pharisee, this expert in the law, would have known everything about these laws, inside and out. Known it all. He was indeed the expert, as the scripture tells us. The question that he posed to Jesus was, hey, yo, Jesus. My version. Hey, yo, Jesus. How do I get eternal life? Some other ways to think about it is he's saying, hey, we've got 613 laws, rules, and regulations that you sent down to Moses, and I want to know which ones hold the most weight. I want to know which one's most important, because I want eternal life. So of these 613 that I know everything about, I need you to please tell me which ones are the best. I guess he was tired of dealing with all 613. He just wanted to focus in on a couple, right? He's like, I need to know. So before we get any further about what Jesus says, or well, actually he answers his own question, this guy, we'll go to the scriptures. Now, Luke 10:25-37 is what the next 3 weeks is going to be over. But the next 2 weeks in particular, I'm going to hone in on Luke 10:25-28. I have three little scriptures for 2 weeks that I'm going to talk about. Buckle in, people. Buckle in. So 25-28, and I remembered my glasses this time. Thank you. I'm learning. Oh, there we go. A little bit better. So let's read it real quick. 10:25-28. On one occasion, an expert in the law, as I already told you, stood up to test Jesus, and he said, Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus, in true Jesus fashion, this is what I love, asked him a question back. I think he was probably like, well, you're the expert, but okay. He says, what is written in the law? He responded, how do you read it? You boil these 613 down for me, would you? And the expert says in verse 27, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus responded, or replied, do this and you will live. So the guy got the answer right, didn't he? The scribe, the Pharisee, the expert, He answered his own question, because that's what Jesus does, throws it back to him. Man, I wish I could do that. That's a great, great gift to have. How do you read it? And he answered it right. Jesus is like, yeah, you do that and you're going to live. Excellent. Go guy, right? Go expert. But as I read this, as I'm reading the book I'm reading, it poses more questions to me. When you delve into those things, I think you guys know where this is going, maybe. How do I love God with all my heart? How do I love him with all my soul? How do I love him with all my mind? And how do I love him with all my strength? We're going to go over that the next 2 weeks. Today, we're going to tackle heart and soul. Next week, we'll talk about mind and strength. And then after that, the cleanup hitter, Pastor Tosh, is going to come up here and talk about the whole who's your neighbor? The neighbor is yourself. And if you read on, which I encourage you to read it, read the scriptures, that's fine. Because Jesus goes into the parable of the Good Samaritan, so we'll be into that. Okay? So are you with me today? All right, good. Oh, good. Heart, soul, mind, strength. I mean, I can say those just like this. Anybody else have to memorize those when they were a kid in Sunday school? Heart, soul, mind, strength. But they can be words. It's a great concept. You learn it, you know it. But really, what are you saying? How do we do that? That's why we come to church, right? So we can learn about how we do this stuff that we know in here and then take it outside the walls of this church. It's a great concept. It sounds amazing. We have it memorized. Four things into our daily life. Sure, I'll love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. But what does that mean? We need to really learn what these four things mean, apply it to ourselves and our daily lives. And the idea here, obviously, is to have a richer, deeper, more meaningful relationship with God through doing, loving him in those four ways. I'm going to challenge you. Your relationship with God should grow over the next few weeks, and hopefully it's not a just go to church on Sunday, I've done that kind of relationship with God. Or hopefully it's not, oh, I donated this, I did this nice thing, or whatever. Those are all wonderful things. Please keep coming to church, please. But this ministerial team, this church, wants you to have a personal relationship with Jesus and to grow closer and closer to him every single day. And by loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you do that. And what's funny is when you do that and you're tapped into Jesus, not funny, but you know what I mean. You do those four things in your relationship with Jesus, it spills over into loving your neighbor as yourself. It all works together. It plays into every aspect of our lives and into every relationship of our lives. Okay, so you guys ready to learn about where your heart is or how you love your God with all your heart? Yes. Okay, that's pretty good. Okay, good. All right, your heart. This is where you feel your emotions. Anybody emotional like me? Okay, just a couple people. Very good. All right, I'm talking to you guys. Let me explain it this way as far as emotions are concerned, because this is what loving God with all your heart means is you bring all of your emotions, your raw true self, everything you're feeling, and you bring it right to the feet of Jesus and you lay it out for him. You talk to God on a daily, on a moment about how you're really feeling. And I was thinking about an analogy about this, and I hope you guys get where I'm going with this, but I want to explain myself, because I can only speak for myself, on a roller coaster. Okay, I love roller coasters, and Chris doesn't, obviously. Oh. And this is me on a roller coaster. Click, click, everybody knows the clicks, right? Click, 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 click. Roller coaster. That is my true raw emotion on a roller coaster. If I was talking to God without true emotions, and let's say it was like a roller coaster, it would be like this. It'd be like click, 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 click. Yeah, that was fine. Do you get the difference? You can be your real true self on a roller coaster. You can be your real true self with God. Don't hold anything back. Let the emotion go, whatever it is. And I know that's how I am. And I was pointed out by my lovely wife that she rides roller coasters differently. We've been together for a while now. I won't say how many years, because I don't know right off the top of my head. 2015. 15. Oh, and she's back there. 15. And we've never ridden a roller coaster together, okay? But she says she's just like the non-emotional person. She's just like, yeah, you guys probably believe that, don't you, about Pastor Tosh? She's like, yeah, woo-wee. My point with that part is, this little spin-off that's going to get me in major trouble, is that be who you are. Be your genuine self with God. Be the crazy, wild person on the roller coaster, or be the calm, confident Pastor Tosh on the roller coaster. But whatever you are, whatever emotion you are, however you are feeling, I encourage you to do that with God, with Jesus. You're giving him your heart. That's loving God with all your heart. Whatever emotions you live with and communicate on day to day with other people, poor Pastor Tosh, I feel sorry. Do that with God as well. And sometimes that means saying things to God out loud. Do people here pray out loud? You guys pray out? Good. I encourage you to do so. Pray out loud. Praying in the silence is fantastic. Sometimes we need that just peace and just to sit there for a moment and listen to God and not give any emotion. But man, when we need to talk to God, talk. Talk out loud. Let him know how you're feeling. We need to do that. And I want you to know this, because I think this sometimes with me is I feel like if I'm being too emotional, I'm not being reverent enough to God. And he's so holy, which he is. And we do need to be respectful and reverent. But we can still bring our emotions. That doesn't mean I'm being disrespectful when I bring him my emotions. So bring your emotions to him. Bring all of your heart. Love God with all your heart, where you feel. Questions would be like right now that you should be thinking about is, can you bring more emotion to your prayer life and communication with God? Can you bring more heart to God? When I think about people in the Bible, as I was trying to come up with an example of someone in the Bible, obviously I'm a pastor, I kind of do that, right? There's examples in the Bible. David comes to mind. David. What a great example in our lives, or in the Bible, that we can apply to our lives of someone who just spilled out his emotions to God. Anybody here ever read some Psalms? Yeah, right? He prays with emotion. He wears his heart on his sleeve, which is a phrase that we use to mean that you expose your true emotions and, get this, make yourself vulnerable. Do you make your heart vulnerable to God? Do you let him know it all? Pour it out. I challenge us as a church and individually that we do that. Our love for God will grow even more than you have now, if you can imagine it, if we give him all of our heart and just love him with all of our heart. We can say things out loud to God like, I am so frustrated. I'm going through this right now. I am so frustrated that someone else is going through this now. And you can say things like, God, I love you so much. Thank you for how you love me in this way. Be specific. Be emotional. Cry with God. Laugh with God. Be frustrated. Be angry. Happy. Joyful. Serious. Exhausted. Challenged. Sorrowful. Every emotion you can think of that you have, you can bring it to God. I got news for you. He already knows what's going on anyway, right? This is no surprise to any of us. But when we pour ourselves out, we let him know that we trust him, that we're vulnerable with him, that he can have all of us. He can have our heart. When we communicate with our raw, bold emotion, we will get closer to God, and we will love God with all of our heart. Well, now that you love God with all your heart, We're going to talk about loving God with all our soul. The slide, please. Thank you. I mean, sorry. Hi. All right, so your soul. This is a good one. Your soul is where you decide. This is your will. Oh, uncomfortable. Can I just give him my emotions and not this other stuff? Your will or your soul is how you make decisions and where you make decisions in your life. The New Testament uses the Greek word psyche. I'm not efficient in Greek or proficient in Greek, but it correlates to a word that you might know, psychology. And the Greek word has to do with your will, your drive, your passion for life, the power by which you live. Your soul is your desires and your passions. Wow. Do you love God with all your desires and your passions? Do you love God with the power by which you live? This is a really deep one. When I got into the soul thing, I was like, ooh, I'm getting uncomfortable here. But sorry, you got to be uncomfortable with me. It's deep, this one. But it's a very deep love that we have for God, right? Should be. When we love him with all our heart and now our soul. I think to get this kind of deep love and to love God with all of our soul, we really have to let God take over and be involved and take over all of our desires, our will, all of it, right? That means God's in control of it all. Jesus gave the ultimate example in Luke 22. And if you want, I'm going to go into Luke 22 and verse 42. Because I think this is the example that we can totally use. And it is a high standard and a high bar. But if we get into Luke 22. Jesus and the disciples have had their last meal together, okay? And Jesus is agonizing. Well, Jesus leaves them, right? He goes off into the garden to pray. And while he's in the garden, he's praying. He's not only praying, he's agonizing. I'm guaranteeing you, he's speaking out loud to God about his emotions. He's loving God with all of his heart, I guarantee you. But he knows what he's going to face, and he's having this moment with God. He knows he's going to face physical, emotional, and spiritual torture. He's going to have to endure all of that for him to complete his mission. But he says something in verse 42. This is what loving God with all your soul means. This is loving God with all of your passions, all your desires, and all your will. And some of you may know, but in verse 42 of chapter 22, he says, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Take this cup from me. Mm-hmm. Yet not my will, but yours be done. You get the whole soul thing now? Love God with all your soul means, oh, well, not my will, but yours be done, God. I know. That's a really super high bar. Anybody think that's a high bar to live life with? That's a high bar. Yet not my will, but yours be done. 100% beautiful example of loving God with all your soul. Jesus just gave it to us. A high bar. I mean, I understand this is Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the guy who came down here, the Son of God, who lived a perfect life and gave us salvation. I get it, it's a hard bar. Nonetheless, we are called to live and be an example of what Jesus did and be an example and mirror him, right? We're little Christians. We want to be like him. And if we want to be like him, we're going to love God with all of our soul. That means we're going to love God and give him everything. And with everything that happens, we say, not my will, God, but yours be done. And really mean it. Really mean it. It's not easy to do, but it's our example. And when we do it right, God's light shines through us, and it becomes easier to just let him go, and we trust him more, we love him more, we're better in relationships with others. It's a snowball effect. This is how we love God with all of our soul. Jesus in the garden. Now, there's a small three-letter word for both of these, and next week that we will go, that I'll make sure and reiterate. Small three-letter word to remember that's not insignificant at all. It's very significant, in fact. The word is all. You guys caught that on all these, right? Ooh, on all these. All. All your heart. All your soul. I know what the word all means. Do you guys know what the word all means? But I looked it up anyway. Because I just wanted to see what the dictionary has to say about it. And it fits perfect. The definition of the word all is the whole of one's energy. We are to love God with the whole of our energy of our heart. The whole of our energy of our soul. Not part of it. Not a little piece, not a sliver. And we're working towards all, right? Some of you might be at 10%, some might be at 50, some might be at negative, some might be whatever. Wherever you are on your Christian walk, you're getting there, and you can get to all. All means the total whole of our energy put into that area. Not part, but whole, all. We shouldn't just overlook that word. All of our emotions, every single one of them, all of our desires, every single one of them. My prayer today for us as a church and for each one of you as Christians out in this world is that we can slowly and surely love God with more of our heart, all of it. We can out loud, have an out loud expression of our feelings. You guys think you can do that? Yeah. And with all of our soul, the full amount of it, of our desires and our passion and our will, all of it. We can do that too, can't we? Can't we? Okay, thank you. A verbal yes would be great. I saw heads, but make sure you're on board. We can. We totally can. All of it on both of those realms. When we do this, we get closer and closer to God. Remember, that's the goal here, is our relationship with God and a meaningful, more deep relationship with him. Then it spills over to others. Anybody want to have a better relationship with God? Yeah. Everybody want to have a better relationship with others? Yeah. Then do those two things. And there's two more to come next week. Please come back for session number two. You need to know about strength of mind, don't you? Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for this message today. I ask that each of us can really fully self-assess where we are in our full and utter love, all of our love for you, for with our heart and our soul, God. Now that we know a little bit better about what these words mean and how we are to show and display that love for you, I just ask that we can look at ourselves, look at our lives, and determine what we need to do, what actions we need to take to make those better. I ask right now that we can all just love God individually and as a church with all of our heart, show those true out loud emotions and become vulnerable with you. And I pray also that we can love you with all of our soul and be that beautiful example like Jesus gave us of just giving everything over to you, all of our desires, all of our will, everything. I thank you for this message today, God. Just be with us as we ponder this week and bring us back next Sunday as we finish up with mind and strength. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.